Bhagatamu Makyam. So we continue the journey from the very beginning now, 1926, from the date of her novitiate, the very important preparation for her 10 years. So this is one of the reflection. Another time, I heard these words. Jesus says, go to the superior and ask her to allow you to make a daily hour of adoration for 9 days. During this adoration, try to unite yourself in prayer with my mother, Heavenly Mother. Pray with all your heart in union with Mary, and try also during this time to make the way of the cross. I received the permission, though not for a full hour, but only for whatever time was left me after I had carried out my duties. No special allot for this. Squeeze your time. It's good, you can learn this. Not all the time, full time, but it's a squeeze of time to do the holy hour. I was to make this the winner for the intention of my motherland, Poland. On the seventh day of the novena, I saw between heaven and earth the Mother of God clothed in a bright robe. She was praying with her hands folded on her bosom, her eyes fixed on heaven. From her heart issued forth fiery rays, some of which were turned toward heaven, while the others were covering our country. When I told this and certain other things to my confessor, he replied that these might really be coming from God, but that they might also be an illusion. The confessor doesn't confirm 100%, perhaps could be illusion. Because of my frequent changes of assignments, I did not have a permanent confessor, and besides, I had great difficulty in speaking of these things. I pray heartily that the Lord would give me the great grace, that is, a spiritual director. But my prayer was answered only after my perpetual vow, when I went to Vilnius. The priest was Father Sopoko. He will be beatified. I don't know yet or not yet, but I heard this thing. God had allowed me to see him in an interior vision even before I came to Vilnius. Interesting, to see a spiritual director spiritually, without meeting the person. Oh, if only I had had the spiritual director from the beginning, then I would not have wasted so many of God's grace. A confessor can help the soul a great deal, but he can cause it a lot of harm. Oh, how careful confessors should be about the work of God's grace in their penitent soul. So that means she experienced some of the confessors doesn't trust in her because it's an illusion. So this is a matter of great importance. But the graces which are given to a soul, one can recognize the degree of its intimacy with God. Another paragraph. Once I was summoned to the judgment seat of God, a spiritual experience. I stood alone before the Lord. Jesus appeared as we know him during his passion. After a moment, his wounds disappeared except for five, those in his hands, his feet, and his side. Suddenly, I saw the complete condition of my soul as God sees it. I could clearly see all that is displeasing to God. I did not know then even the smallest transgressions will have to be accounted for. You see, small thing, not perfect, is not perfect. God is perfect, so still you have to. For the moment, who can describe it? To stand before the thrice holy God, Trinity. Jesus asked me, "Who are you?" I answered, "I'm your servant, Lord." What's it? "You're guilty of one day of fire in purgatory." I wanted to throw myself immediately into the flames of purgatory, but Jesus stopped me and said, "Which do you prefer? Suffer now for one day in purgatory or for a short while on earth? Which you would choose?" Huh? "One day in purgatory or a short while on earth? Suffer. You prefer purgatory? On earth." I replied, "Jesus, I want to suffer in purgatory, and I want to suffer also the greatest pains on earth." Close the door, please. "Even if it were until the end of the world." So she's more love for anything, for the will of God. If the will of God on earth, no problem. In purgatory, purgatory. Jesus said, "One is enough. You will go back to the earth, and there you will suffer much, but not for long." Eh, and it's 10 years. Eh? "You will accomplish my will and my desires, and a faithful servant of mine will help you to do this." That means a spiritual director. "Now, rest your head on my bosom, on my heart, and draw from it strength and power for these sufferings. Because you will find neither relief, nor help, nor comfort anywhere else." So only from the heart of Jesus she can have the consolation. "Know that you will have much, much to suffer, but don't let this frighten you. I'm with you." Or Jesus always say, "Don't be afraid." By the time of Jesus, today, the same. So the gospel is eternal. The word of God eternal. So don't take it 2,000 years ago, the word not sufficient. A modern world, no. Eternal word, truth is truth. "Soon afterwards, I became ill. Physical weakness was for me a school of patience. What only Jesus knows how many efforts of will I had to make to fulfill my duty. In order to purify a soul, Jesus uses whatever instruments he likes. My soul underwent a complete abandonment on the part of creatures. Often my best intentions were misinterpreted by the sisters." You see, they don't understand, the sisters. "A type of suffering which is most painful, it's not so much physical, it's painful from the people, especially from the same congregation, the same sister, the same house, the same room, and it's more suffering." So Jesus knows that, don't worry. I talk to the sisters. "But God allowed it, and we must accept it, because in this way we become more like Jesus." So if you want to be holy, only another Jesus, nothing else. No consolation, no help anywhere, but just in the heart of Jesus. "There was one thing which I could not understand for a long time. Jesus ordered me to tell everything to my superiors, But my superiors did not believe what I said and treated me with pity as though I were being deluded or imagining things. You know, you tell somebody, somebody doesn't trust you, doesn't believe you what you're talking about. It's another suffering, you know. Because of this, believing myself to be deluded, I resolved to avoid God in theory for fear of these illusions. So she's afraid. So because the superior telling her, your imagination. So she's afraid. No, come on, Jesus, don't appear to me, don't talk to me. Otherwise another illusion comes in. But the grace of God pursued me at every step, and God spoke to me when I least expected it. When not expected, God showed something. Well, funny, eh? The whole time according to our will, doesn't know when, now. One day, Jesus told me that he would cause a chastisement to fall upon the most beautiful city in our country, probably Warsaw, it's a included bracket. This chastisement would be that with which God had punished Sodom and Gomorrah. I saw the great wrath of God, and a shudder pierced my heart. I prayed in silence. After a moment, Jesus said to me, "My child, unite yourselves closely to me during the sacrifice, and offer my blood and my wounds to my Father in expiation for the sins of that city, Warsaw." Repeat this without interruption throughout the entire Holy Mass. Do this for 7 days. Expiation for the country. On the seventh day, I saw Jesus in a bright cloud and began to beg him to look upon the city and upon our whole country. Jesus looked down graciously. When I saw the kindness of Jesus, I began to beg his blessing. Immediately, Jesus said, "For your sake, I bless the entire country." You know, you need somebody to pray for. Naturally, you will pray for Philippines, no? Will you? So hard time to get the people to witness for the, you know, from the news, you know, so difficult your country. Get somebody to give witness. Not you, but you know, you can. So much time, so much you have to pray for, pray hard for your country too. And he made a big sign of the cross over our country. Seeing the goodness of God, a great joy filled my soul. The year 1929, once during Holy Mass, I felt in a very special way the closeness of God, although I tried to turn away and escape from Him. On several occasions, I have run away from God because I didn't want to be a victim of the evil spirit. So it's very hard to discern whether it's a real apparition or from the evil spirit, you know, sometimes very similar. Since others have told me more than once that such is the case, and this incertitude lasted for quite some time. During Holy Mass, before communion, we had a renewal of vows. We had left Aglilus and I started to recite the formula for the vows. Jesus appeared suddenly at my side, clad in a white garment with a golden girdle around his waist. And he said to me, "I give you eternal love, that your purity may be untarnished, and a sign that you will never be subject to temptations against purity." Jesus took off his golden cincture and tied it around my waist. Since then, I've never experienced any attacks against this virtue of chastity, either in my heart or in my mind. Anita understood that this was one of the greatest graces which the Most Holy Virgin Mary had obtained for me. So our Heavenly Mother is praying for her also. So they cooperate together. Only Jesus loves her. Heavenly Mother loves her too. As for many years, I had been asking this grace of her. So she did already ask the Blessed Virgin Mary that for chastity, for purity of heart and mind and soul. Since that time, I've experienced an increasing devotion to the Mother of God. So if you're close to Jesus, surely your heart should be close to our Heavenly Mother. Don't listen to some our brothers and sisters say, important is Jesus. Of course, our Heavenly Mother is very important. Have her in your heart. She is your mother too. She has taught me how to love God interiorly and also how to carry out His holy will in all things. O Mary, you are joy because through you God descended to earth into my heart. On one occasion, I saw a servant of God in the immediate danger of committing a mortal sin. I started to beg God to send down upon me all the torments of hell and all the sufferings he wished, if only these priests would be set free and snatched from the occasion of committing a sin. Jesus heard my prayer, and that very instant, I felt a crown of thorns on my head. The thorns penetrated my head with great force right into my brain. This lasted for 3 hours. The servant of God was set free from this sin, and his soul was strengthened by special grace of God. He was a priest. Of course, he doesn't know. But virtually, Faustina knew this. She offered her life for this priest, and he was saved. Once on Christmas Day, 1928, I felt the omnipotence and the presence of God surrounding me. And once more, I fled from these interior meetings with the Lord. I asked Mother Superior for permission to go to Joseph Finnick to visit the sister there. She's afraid to meet Jesus. Go to another place. Maybe Jesus is far away. The superior gave us permission and we started to get ready right after lunch. The other sisters were already waiting for me at the door of the convent while I ran to my cell to get my cloak. On my way back, as I was passing close to the little chapel, I saw Jesus standing in the doorway. He said to me, "Go ahead, but I'm taking your heart." Suddenly I felt that I had no heart in my chest. But the sisters were scolding me for lingering behind, saying that it was already getting late. So I quickly went along with them. But a sense of uneasiness troubled me, and a strange longing invaded my soul. Though no one knew what was happening except God. After we had been at Josephinic for only a few minutes, I said to the sisters, "Let's go back home." Oh, you see, Jesus doesn't want her to go, to escape. She feels she doesn't feel good. You see, that's her desire, to go away. But Jesus, "I took your heart. So, here's your heart, whatever, you can go there." She doesn't enjoy, no relax. So, "I have to go back home." The sisters asked for at least a moment's rest, but my spirit could find no peace. I explained that we must return before dark. In such a way, in as much as we had quite a distance to go, we immediately returned home. When Mother Superior met us in the hallway, she asked me, "Haven't the sisters gone yet? Or have they already returned?" I said that we had already returned because I did not want to be returning in the evening. I took off my cloak and immediately went to the little chapel. As soon as I entered, Jesus said to me, "Go to Mother Superior and tell her that you came back not in order to reach home before dark, but because I had taken your heart." You see, tell the truth, not an excuse. Even though this way was very difficult for me, I went to the superior and I told her frankly the real reason why I had come back so soon, and I asked pardon of the Lord for everything that had displeased him. And then Jesus filled me with great joy. I understood that apart from God, there is no contentment anywhere. Although the people doesn't agree with what she's doing, Jesus go his way. He just opened her heart to the superior. My goodness, most difficult thing on earth. And she has to confront her to face. Interesting, eh? Sister. Obedience. Obedience, very important. Jesus wanted one.